Hello, welcome again to another installment of the Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. This ministry is brought to you by the Wash and Word Hand Car Washing Business. We're located in Highway 11W in Church Hill, Tennessee, in the Palace Shopping Center. You can find out all the information about this ministry and about this business by going to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And there you'll discover everything you need to know about this business and this ministry. This business exists so that we can put these Bible teachings into your hands and into your ears. You can download them for free at the washandword.com website. And we believe that verse-by-verse Bible teaching is the most effective way to properly equip the saints of the Lord with everything that the world would throw at them today and what we are going to face in the future. So we're going to pick it up here in John chapter 21. In our last message, we saw that the disciples had gone out at night to go fishing. They were probably a little dejected, and they weren't catching anything. And then the Lord called to them from the beach and said, throw your nets over the other side. And they obeyed the Lord, and then they picked up this net full of fish, which didn't break, because we made the connection in our last message that when you fish through the power of the Lord, that is when the Lord or the Holy Spirit draws the fish to you, as it happened here, your nets won't break. That is, your strength won't fail, your faith won't waver, and your effectiveness for the gospel will be bolstered and strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit, because we have obeyed the Spirit's leading by doing that which He tells us to do. And so we have to remember, when the Spirit prompts us to go and talk to somebody, or go and volunteer or do something or start a relationship, whatever it is, that obedience gives us the power to have nets that won't break. Which, unlike in the same thing that happened in Luke, where they caught fish, but their nets were breaking because it was more of a natural and human power that was catching these fish. And so we made a connection that when Jesus catches the fish, when He draws them to us, and by our obedience we make disciples of them, they will not get away. They will be caught, as it were. So let's pick up now in chapter 21 of Gospel of John and verse 9. Remember, you can go to washandword.com and listen to these messages and kind of get caught up to where we are if you've missed a few of them. Verse 9. When they landed, this is the disciples going, when they recognized Jesus back at the beach, they took the boat and, you know, they went back to the shore because they knew it was Jesus. So when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Let's stop there for just a moment. And I want to start by giving you this application. All we can do is simply add to what Jesus already has and what he has already done. Let me say that again. All that we can do is add to what Jesus has already done and what he has already said. In other words, Jesus provided the fish on the shore. He had a fire going. He had the fish going. And then, even though these disciples came in with a whole net full of fish, 153 to be exact, who provided the meal that morning or that night? It was Jesus. Jesus provided the bread, and he provided the fish. And don't overlook this, because this is a beautiful picture of how Jesus invites us to join him. And even though it's 153-6, that is how much fish they had to, you know, what Jesus had, I'm guessing 6, but sure wasn't 153 on that fire. Whatever the number is, even though it was an outrageous difference, it says to me that all of our efforts and all of our talents, all of the net full of good things and souls that we may bring in Listen, it's just an enhancement to what Christ has already done. Remember that. There's no good work you can do. There's no great sacrifice that you can make. You know, I sacrificed I'm not trying to brag or you know, get any kind of accolades. Just making a point here that I had a good job with good benefits, making a lot of money, had, you know, 401k, the whole thing. I gave it up to wash cars because the Bible says no matter what you do, do it for the glory of God. And I do it so that I can bring you these verse-by-verse Bible teachings. This is my service, as it were. This is what I believe God has led me to do at this time in my life. That may change down the road, but right now, this is what I'm going to do. But all of my efforts, sacrifices, everything that you do is merely an addition to what Christ has already done. We don't do anything. We don't bring anybody to Him. We do none of that. We are just an extension of what the Lord has already started. We may bring Him in. We may have great words to say, good sermons to preach. We may have loving actions and deeds, and we may draw people into the fold of Christianity. And God bless you if that's what you're doing. But listen, you didn't do it. Do you understand? You're just an extension of the power of Jesus. We are just His arms and His feet. We are His mouth. We are the loving, caring hands of the Lord, just being extended in the physical flesh of this world. And so, even though we bring 153 fish to the fire, Christ has already prepared our meal, as it were. Remember this as well. We don't bring a net full of fish to the Lord and say, look, Lord, I'm blessing you with all these souls. You know, we don't bring somebody to Christ and say, Lord, the blessing is for you. Do you understand that? Because here we see that the work of fishing will bless us, the fishermen. And as Jesus gathered these men on the shore, He invited them to feast with Him. And while He fed them bread and fish, they probably remembered the two occasions when He multiplied those same things and fed the multitudes of people. He blessed them by providing for their physical hunger. And here it is the fishermen themselves who are being blessed by the work of fishing. But listen, the main emphasis in this account is this. Success cannot occur without the recognition that the power of God is needed. This is not a new truth either. This isn't some revelation. In Psalm 127, the psalmist said, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. Except the Lord guard the city, the watchman watches in vain." But it is very common in the church today to see people rely on strictly human methods with no recognition of the fact that it's God that must supply the ability. And it is my opinion that this conscious recognition of the Lord's power in all of the things that we do daily is what we need to get the church back on track, to start winning souls that aren't being led into false teachings. We are forever wandering away from the one source that gives us the power to do these things. In verse 15, we read on, "When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' he said. 'You know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my lambs.' Again, Jesus said, 'Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?' He answered, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Take care of my sheep.' The third time he said this to him, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, 'Do you love me?' He said, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my sheep.'" Now here we see that this is a popular section of scripture. And the scene, I believe he does it three times, is to kind of mirror the three denials that Peter did. I don't think it's an accident that he did it three times. And we see some similarities in the denial of Peter and then what we can call the confession of Peter here. Both of them, as we see here on the shore, took place by a fire. Both times he was referred to as Simon. And if you take the time to do a study, you'll see that every time Simon was used to refer to Peter, it always referred to his natural side. So there was three denials, and now there is three affirmations. Now we see the three denials of Peter. We see the three affirmations of Peter. And if you think about it, there's a three-part aspect to what Jesus has asked us to do. He's asked us to fish. He's asked us to catch, and he's asked us to disciple. And oftentimes we're not willing to do all three. And by Jesus asking Peter three times, it's almost as if, and I'm probably reading into this, but it still applies nonetheless, that Jesus wants to make sure that we are fully on board with his line of thinking, that we're not just off to catch fish and that's it. You know, there are a lot of pastors out there who can work the congregation into a frenzy of emotion, can cause people by guilt or by sorrow, whatever it is, to come up so they are catching fish, as it were, but then the discipleship part kind of fades away. And without the discipleship part, there's the sower and the seed parable, which tells us that we need all three of these things working together, or we will lose the fish that we have caught. And so this three-part emphasis is to get on board with what Jesus needs us to do to complete the mission. Too often, we just want to go out and minister a few words and be on our way, or, we're not good evangelists, and so we try to just make up for it by doing something in a different way. But we are equipped and called to do all three. But I want to spend the rest of our time here talking about what Peter was asked three times. Do you love me? Do you love me? And the first time, Jesus actually says, do you love me more than these? Now, it's interesting, the phrase in the first time when he says, do you love me more than these? And a lot of commentators have disagreed. Most of the accepted commentary thinks that Jesus is referring to the fish and the nets and the boats. That is, Peter, do you love me more than you love what you do? Do you love me more than the things that you own? Do you love me more than the stuff that identifies you and makes you what you are? Do you love me more than all of these things? And while that is a perfectly acceptable understanding to what Jesus is saying when he says, do you love me more than these? There's a less accepted view that I'd like to take a look at in our time left here. And that is, perhaps Jesus was saying, instead of pointing to the fish and the boat and the nets, maybe Jesus was saying, do you love me more than you love these, as he points to the other disciples? In other words, saying, do you love me more than the other disciples love me? And the thing with this mentality or this thought is that why would Jesus try to pit him against the others, so to speak? But remember this, in Mark 14:29, Peter declared, even if all fall away, I will not. Do you know what Peter was doing when he made that statement? He says, even if these schleps, I'm taking some liberties to paraphrase, but he's saying, even if my brothers and sisters, even if these other disciples, even if these characters leave you, I will never leave you, as Peter stands there in all of his bold, natural, fleshly human pride to make such a statement. And friends, remember this as we close. Bold statements of pride require bold statements of humility. Jesus is breaking Peter down. He is in the process of rebuilding Peter. He's already torn him to the bottom of his human flesh and soul when he denied him for the third time and Peter went out and wept bitterly. That was a broken, empty shell of a man. But listen, God never leaves you there. He will bring you there, and praise God if he finds you worthy enough to bring you to that place where you are a complete wreck and totally undone and empty before him. Because friends, that is where God begins to build you back into the true fisherman that you have been called to become. Let those words resonate And we're going to pick this up right back here, because I have more to say about Peter's statement of pride and his statement of humility. Well, have a blessed day. Remember, go to washandword.com for information about this business and ministry.